How much do you know about RNA? Probably not as much as you do about DNA, a molecule heralded as the secret of life itself. But DNA's less celebrated cousin has been steadily moving into the limelight as science uncovers more of the surprising powers of ribonucleic acid. Here to share some of those findings is chemist Thomas Cech, author of the new book, The Catalyst, RNA and the Quest to Unlock Life's Deepest Secrets. Thomas teaches at the University of Colorado at Boulder, and in 1989, he shared the Nobel Prize in Chemistry for his discovery of the catalytic properties of RNA. Here's Thomas to share five of his key insights.
Greetings, I'm Tom Cech, a professor of biochemistry at the University of Colorado in Boulder, and recipient of the 1989 Nobel Prize in Chemistry. I have a long-standing interest in explaining discoveries in modern biology to non-scientists. I've noticed that people these days are generally comfortable with DNA. DNA is the stuff of heredity, determining traits such as hair color and eye color, but also propensity to genetic diseases. DNA can be used to trace our family history, and it can be used to solve crimes. We even say, "It's in my DNA," when something is part of our nature. In my case, love of Thai food and trail running in the mountains. But when it comes to DNA's daughter, RNA, people's eyes used to glaze over. Too complicated, they'd say, even though ribonucleic acid, RNA, seemed like it must be closely related to deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA. Then came the COVID-19 pandemic and the messenger RNA vaccines. And finally, most people had at least heard of RNA. And many were ready to learn more. That's why I wrote my book, The Catalyst, to share my excitement about RNA with non-scientists. I think that RNA discoveries constitute the greatest scientific achievement since we put men on the moon. Here are five insights that I hope you'll gain from my book. Insight number one, fundamental basic research into how biology works, not aiming for a practical outcome, often gives rise to the most transformative medical innovations. Here's one of many such stories from the book. About 15 years ago, scientists studying bacteria noticed that the bacteria were taking bits and pieces of DNA from their viral parasites and storing them in their own DNA. What could this mean? Driven by curiosity, they determined that the bacteria were keeping track of past encounters with these bad guys in a sort of a Rolodex file, so they could quickly recognize them and destroy them if they saw them again. At the beginning, no one imagined that this bacterial defense system, which became known as CRISPR, would start a medical revolution. But two of these researchers, Emmanuel Charpentier of Umeå Center for Microbial Research in Sweden and Jennifer Doudna of the University of California, Berkeley, figured out how this bacterial self-defense worked. And it was RNA that was key. The CRISPR machine carried along a guide RNA, and only when the code of the guide matched a stretch of code in the DNA did it go to work. The guide RNA gave CRISPR its exquisite specificity, which allowed Doudna and Charpentier to repurpose it into a gene editing machine. They won a Nobel Prize in 2020 for their discovery, which has already been developed into a therapy for sickle cell disease, with more therapies for genetic diseases on the way. Insight number two, big breakthroughs in understanding human biology often come from the most unlikely critters. Common sense might lead you to believe that if you wanted to study human health and disease, you should study humans, or at least other mammals like apes and mice, because they are more related to humans. But remarkably, many of the biggest discoveries in human biology have come instead from studying distantly related organisms that provide a special advantage to the researcher. The immortality enzyme, telomerase, is a good example. Studying a one-celled pond animal named Tetrahymena, Carol Greider and Liz Blackburn discovered the little cellular machine that maintained DNA at the ends of Tetrahymena chromosomes, and they named it telomerase. It was a little RNA machine, the RNA serving to template or specify the DNA building blocks that were added to the chromosome ends. The tetrahymena telomerase allowed scientists to identify the corresponding human enzyme, which turned out to be the key to immortality of cells, not entire people. Building out the DNA at chromosome ends allows cells to keep dividing, whereas in its absence, telomeres shrink and cells enter a state called senescence. This immortality enzyme is essential for early development of embryos, for our reproductive cells, and for our stem cells in adults, but it's necessary for cancer growth as well. So if you wish for longer telomeres, be careful what you wish for. Insight number 3. If at first you don't succeed, don't just try again. Instead, attack the problem from a different angle. This is a well-known strategy in science research. An example from the world of RNA involves the ribosome, the conglomerate of multiple proteins and RNAs that forms a little machine that reads out messenger RNA's code to make thousands of different proteins, such as the enzymes that digest the food in our stomach, that allow our muscles to flex, and that keep our hearts beating. When the saxophone-playing, Ferrari-driving scientist Harry Knowler started his professor position at UC Santa Cruz, he wanted to figure out which protein in the ribosome was doing the key job of linking amino acids together to form protein chains. So he removed ribosomal proteins one at a time. But the ribosome seemed unfazed. It still did its job. This was weird because every scientific textbook proclaimed that all enzymes are proteins. So where was the key ribosomal enzyme hiding? Finally, and at the time it really seemed like a long shot, Harry turned the idea on its head. Maybe it was the RNA part of the ribosome that was doing the heavy lifting, and the protein parts were just a supporting cast. That approach hit pay dirt. RNA was indeed the heart and soul of the protein-making machines. Insight number 4. Don't believe everything the textbooks say. Harry Knowler's ribosome work already provides one great example, but there are tons more. When I set up my own lab at the University of Colorado in Boulder, my students and I quickly stumbled on an example of a process called RNA splicing. Just as a sailor might cut out a frayed portion of a rope and splice the good ends together, RNA molecules often need to cut out interruptions in the code called introns. We did not discover introns. They'd been discovered just a few years earlier, but no one knew how the critical job of RNA splicing worked. We set up test tube experiments to find out, adding proteins from the cell to provide what we thought would be necessary splicing enzymes. But the RNA splicing worked just fine without adding any source of protein enzymes. We were stuck for a while, just as Harry Knowler had been, in the textbook dogma that all enzymes are proteins. So what could be powering the splicing of our RNA? We were eventually able to show that pure RNA catalyzed its own splicing rearrangement. And unlike the ribosome, no assistance by proteins was required. As the Nobel Prize committee said a few years later, and I quote, "Many chapters in our textbooks have to be revised." Insight number 5. RNA appears to have been the mother of all things, the molecule that started life on the primordial Earth. There are many definitions of life, but all of them include the requirement that information is passed down from generation to generation. So arguably, the initial life form consisted of just information being copied into more of the same information. Now, in modern cells, information is DNA, and copying DNA into more DNA requires protein enzymes. So scientists faced a daunting chicken and egg problem. Which came first, the DNA information or the protein that could reproduce it? it seemed so unlikely that information and function could arise by random chemical reactions in the same place at the same time to kickstart life. Once the catalytic activity of RNA was found, however, an enormous simplification could be envisioned. Maybe life began with RNA copying itself into daughter RNA molecules, and proteins and DNA came later. In short, maybe the chicken and the egg were one and the same. Most scientists now think it's plausible that RNA kickstarted all life on our planet, although these events happened almost 4 billion years ago, so we don't really know for sure. So I hope you're now intrigued by the wonders of RNA. DNA is like a one-trick pony, although admittedly it's an important trick. It serves as the storehouse of all our genetic information. RNA, on the other hand, has an enormous number of tricks up its sleeve. Sure, it can carry information, which it does quite well as a messenger RNA, but it can also catalyze biochemical transformations, assemble all the proteins on all organisms in Earth, extend our chromosome ends to keep our cells dividing, direct the CRISPR machinery to edit DNA, and correct the mistakes that drive genetic diseases, and explain how life got started on our planet. It is indeed the catalyst. Thanks for listening, and please enjoy the book.
Thank you, Thomas. That was Thomas Cech with 5 big ideas from The Catalyst, RNA and the Quest to Unlock Life's Deepest Secrets. You might also like our book bite for The Codebreaker, Jennifer Doudna, Gene Editing, and the Future of the Human Race by Walter Isaacson. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.